Welcome, folks, back. This is the soccer podcast for what will be a new name that we have yet to establish, actually. Rip Tep Show is getting a little bit of a facelift. We don't really know exactly what we're going to call ourselves. We're formerly Room Techers, now just, I guess, just part of an abandoned brand name at this point.
Yeah, we're freelancing currently, I suppose. Yeah. Unaffiliated.
Unaffiliated, but still looking for work. So we're here. This is the soccer podcast. We're whatever we're going to be called right now. There's some tentative names that we aren't going to throw at you because, you know, it's a huge surprise for all the millions of people who are going to be listening to us.
We know that everybody loves Room Techers as well, so
yeah.
Let's keep it for now.
We'll make sure we're on the map. Today we're joined. It's just Mickey and myself, Matt. We're here. Kaiser's in the room, a pup. And we're going to talk a little bit of sports ball, a little bit of soccer with you guys today. Season recap just ended. UEFA Champions League finished in quite a game on Saturday betwixt Liverpool and Madrid.
Not great, Bob.
Madrid won that 1-3-1. For anyone who does not know, Mickey's a big Liverpool fan. Yeah. So we can tell. We'll jump into that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, let's just rip that Band-Aid off.
Yeah, let's get into it now.
Yeah, just what a disappointing end to, like, the season. I mean, the team was so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they came from the Hoffenheim game in August, with, like, Alexander-Arnold scoring that unreal free kick. We had three people with 10 goals in the Champions League. Like, if Liverpool was playing a game, a neutral wanted to watch it as a fan. They gave you heart attack after heart attack until Van Dijk got there. And there was almost a sense of the narrative that Liverpool's defense was still shitty, like, halfway through the season. Or, halfway through the second half of the season really was just a narrative. Like, I think only United had more clean sheets than them. But
yeah, it really did pick up. And we did say with the signing of Virgil van Dijk that they would have sort of a turnaround with that spine, that defensive structure that we saw Liverpool sort of lack or, like, yearning for a couple of years.
He just made everybody so much better. Like, Karius looked more confident when Matip wasn't hurt. He looked more like Matip was like, oh, thank God, like, I'm not in charge here anymore. Like,
yeah, and I'm not the only one.
This dude's here, and it was the same thing with Lovren. Like, Lovren looked so much better when his that second pairing. He had an amazing game in that Champions League final. Injuries were definitely, like, a huge part of the season. Like, I mean,
what'd you make of the Ramos tackle on Salah? Trying to be as objective, like, as possible, honestly.
Like, it reminds me of just shit that you see in basketball all the time. Like,
yeah.
People are, like, hooking arms, they're going down. Like, I don't think, like, he didn't mean to rip his arm out of his shoulder. Like, that, like, it looks really bad, but I think that if he's a bigger player, like, Ramos probably has, like, close to 40 pounds on Salah. Like, it was just shit. Like, it was, like, as soon as that happened, I was watching the replay, and it was just, like, you could tell that the team was like, oh, my God. Like,
shit, it's over.
Like, that was our guy. They're bringing on Lallana. He's been fit for, like, a week and a half. It was either him or Solanke. Like, the depth was just when I can't remember who came on for Carvajal when he got hurt, but it was somebody of real class. And then Gareth Bale was coming on in the second half for Madrid. And then when you looked at Liverpool's bench, like, you were like, oh, there's nothing there.
Yep. And they did get, obviously we'll get into it a little bit more, but they did get they have a couple key signings coming in to increase that depth. But I do think if nothing else, obviously I don't think you could consider Liverpool's season anything but
it's a massive success.
Yes,
I think
great success this season, and honestly, only better things to look forward to in the future. With the caveat that hopefully you don't lose someone like Salah, which is, like, kind of what happens. You have the talisman, like you did in Coutinho for years, and then it was like, is he leaving? Is he not?
I mean, it's Klopp's. This was his second full season at Liverpool, and we have Champions League again next year, and we made it to the Champions League finals with a squad that wasn't anywhere near. Didn't have anywhere near the depth of the favorites going into it. Like, I mean, I'd say even compared to the British teams that were in it, they had the weakest, like, the starting 11 could go toe-to-toe with anybody, as we saw, but that 18, especially with Chamberlain going down, I think he would have made a huge, that was such a huge difference, just losing his energy in the middle.
Do you think, Do you think Real Madrid is the best team in the world?
Does it fucking matter? They just won three champions. Like, they won three... It didn't feel like this year's Champions League winner has had, like, that same breath of invincibility.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that Madrid team 2 years ago, some of those earlier Barca teams, the Bayern teams, like, the Inter teams were, like, you're just like, oh, no, like, on any given day, like, for the most part, they're going to win. Like, I'm going to completely contradict myself off of what I wrote, but I left that game thinking, like, shit, like, I think we could get him in a second leg. I mean, even because even without Salah...
They held him until halftime, at least. Like,
well, the Bilbo... My jaw dropped. Like, I knew it was going to be bad. Like, I couldn't watch it at all live. I was working. And I was trying to, like... And I tried to stay away from the score, but four people came into my work, and one dude had a Liverpool tattoo, and he just had, like, the saddest face, and I was like, oh, no. Like, I was like, how bad was it? And it was fucking awful. And I watched the replay, and that first goal literally looked like a FIFA glitch. I was just like, this can't be happening. Yep. This can't possibly be happening. That Mane goal, I mean, like, so many, like, that Mane goal off a set piece, like, that's just good soccer right there. Gareth Bale, worldie.
You can't stop it. You can't blame anyone.
I was, like, clapping. Like, yeah, like, that's awesome. And then that fucking third goal is just...
A crusher.
I mean, it sucks because I've seen, like, I mean, it's awful and it's really, it's unforgivable, but you've seen that happen. You've seen those kind of goals before, like, multiple times.
Yep.
Like, that's not the first time you've ever seen, like, a wavy shot from 40, like, move 5 inches to the left, and then you're not, like, then it just goes in. But, like, he probably lost his job, to be honest. Like, Karius, like, I wouldn't be shocked if they ball out on a goalie coming to the summer. But hats off to Real Madrid. 3 years in a row. That's some Golden State stuff.
Yeah, my like one line summation of Real Madrid is that they're the most clutch team in the world. They're not always the best. They can have some injuries here and there. Even when Ronaldo's hurt, Bale's a walking injury. I don't think their goalkeepers are that great, but they are a fantastic team and they know how to fucking win. They know how to win. Like, 5 Champions League titles for Ronaldo. Not bad. He did put something in doubt at the end of the season, though. Don't know what that is.
Bitch move. Like, that don't was know what that so, is. Like, that... Like, I think that he gets a lot of slack for being arrogant, like, in how he's perceived on the pitch.
Yeah.
And he definitely does have that, like, arrogant swagger that Messi also has, but doesn't get talked about nearly as much.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you just won your... Like, you're as a team, like, as a group, you guys just won your third Champions League in a row. And... immediately after it, you're like, yeah, I might be leaving. Like,
yeah, all he said was, for anyone who doesn't know, all he said was, I'd like to thank Real Madrid for the time that I played with them. Or, no, it's been great to play for Real Madrid. And, like, I'll give you guys an update in a week. And he's like, and people are going to want to know about it. And I'll talk to my agent.
Like, unless it's him just retiring straight up.
That would be crazy.
Like, I mean, that would be nuts. But if he's looking for more money or if he wants a move to, like, PSG or something like that.
Just don't go back to Man U.
It's just, like... That just puts such a bad taste in my mouth. Same with Bale. Like, Bale was bitching about his time. It's like, dude, like, you've literally been hurt 50% of the time the last 3 years.
What do you want?
And you just re-signed a contract when you could have left in the summer. But Zidane, I mean, talk about just man management, having to deal with all that. Like, all those egos.
That's got to be ridiculous for him. Well, I guess because he was an ego himself.
Yeah, and... He still got it. Like, did you see that video in practice? That was awesome. What a shot. What a goal with Modric in practice.
But, I mean, obviously, hats off to Real Madrid on that season. A deserved victory. I guess a deserved victory for that.
Do you think, as we were talking about, do you think they're the best club in the world? Do you think that's because there's just so much more parity in Europe right now?
I think we're seeing sort of a tipping point where we have managers like Klopp and Pep who have, like, moved, who have, like, changed hats a little bit. And going to the EPL, and now it's like both of those coaches, like last year and when they were first signed in that first half of the season, they weren't doing like fantastic. They weren't doing bad by any means, but they weren't doing anything better or worse than the last coaches before them, and all I kept saying was, like, just give them a season or two. Just give them a little bit of time. Like, they're the better coaches in the world for a reason. And same thing with Zidane, even. He has a couple really nice youth players coming up now. You know, Marco Asensio, his own son.
An embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, so, like, and yeah, exactly. They have all the money in the world if they want to bring someone like Neymar in with all those goddamn rumors. But, like, you have all these young coaches now, younger coaches, who have had success at other clubs. Like, I mean, Klopp was a successful coach at Dortmund. People loved him there. And now he comes to Liverpool, an equally passionate and voracious crowd, if not more.
I think that gets talked about so much that it's almost kind of like, yeah, whatever, like the Anfield crowd. But particularly for those Champions League games, that was insane. Like, because you know that even as loud as you're hearing it on television, they're muting that, like, yeah, crazy in studio.
Sound guys are probably doing some overtime.
Yeah, not so.
But, like, no, it's you give those clubs a little bit of time, and then, like, you build up. I do like, so, or not Emery for Arsenal, right?
Emery for PSG.
Yep. So now the question is for Emery. They're reportedly giving him a $50 million budget for the season, with questionable players leaving, with some players.
So they're starting off with 50, and then if he sells, like,
right. So, like, meaning your budget. So it's but that's, again, I think Arsenal in particular, very specifically Arsenal in particular, has always been not necessarily stingy, but just very skeptical about spending money. And the argument against Wenger for a number of years was that he didn't spend any money. And looking at the players that he signed, he was just very smart and very specific. And I don't think that was necessarily the best approach, but, like, nonetheless, it was very representative of their administration. So I'm interested to see how Emery, who goes from a team like PSG, who has literally, like, so much money, and, like, is okay with spending all the money because they're trying to get ahead in the Champions League, to a team like a fleeting Arsenal team who is somewhat aging and somewhat in desperate need to get up to speed with those Manchester Cities and Manchester Uniteds, the Liverpools of the EPL.
I'd be interested to see what their expectations are for him. Like, yeah. You know, but if they're more like, okay, we need to get our house in order. Like, we need to be in Europe.
We need to win the locker room.
We need to restock. I think that they should be content with Europa League for maybe the next 2 years. Not content, but if you're there, you're still playing in Europe. Like, dealing with the traveling, dealing with those situations, like, that's still good experience. Because unless they have a massive overhaul, I really don't see how they're bouncing back to the top four.
No. Like I said, you have some aging players that need to go, that are definitely taking up a lot of your wages, but
there's some bad players that are taking up your wages, like Grant Xhaka, like,
get him out.
Christ, I'm so happy Liverpool dodged that bullet.
I think this offseason is going to be super interesting in general. For Chelsea, you guys can read anything you want that I've written about Chelsea in the last three articles I've put out, and you can see that I'm not too happy, but, like, there's, I don't know, you have a lot of players who have been discontent for a while, I think, on that team, particularly in Willian, Hazard, Courtois. Gary Cahill hasn't really said anything, but good for him.
Gary Cahill's old, yeah.
Yeah, he's not so, like, anywhere. So, but those are your three big players, and particularly Hazard and Courtois, who are a lot in tandem with one another, too. I know Courtois wasn't going to sign a new deal until Hazard did, and Hazard's waiting to see what signings that Chelsea's going to make this summer. And Hazard, every single season up until this point, at the end of the season, everyone goes, oh my God, there's these rumors that you're going to Real Madrid or going to wherever the hell, but it's always been Real Madrid. Like, your asking price is X number of dollars. Like, how do you respond to that? And every season he said, I'm very happy at Chelsea. I enjoy being at Chelsea. He's like, don't worry. This season he said, I'm waiting to see what they do. And he's fucking smart for doing that. I think he's right to do that.
He's 27 now?
Something like that.
That's...
yeah.
That's...
pivotal.
Like, he's got the next... those next 3 years. Like,
as a winger?
Yeah. I mean, I think that he's smart enough that... he's smart enough that I think that he could be able to drop back into a slower role, like maybe as kind of like what Coutinho does, not really that attacking midfielder, but like an eight or something like that, maybe. Like, if he adjusts well, but...
right, so...
he has an injury history. He hasn't won a Champions League.
Nope. He came right after that season.
Yeah, so...
yeah. But the striking options for Chelsea have been lackluster, to say the least, this season.
Morata, Giroud was much better than we thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
In his defense.
Yes, absolutely. Giroud has played very well. he's not.
That's why I should be coming back.
I want to know how he plays back in the Prem, though. You know, I sometimes when I see him go on loan, obviously for a concept, from nothing other than a confidence standpoint, it's fantastic because, to be fair, I do think the Bundesliga is not as high of a level as the Prem.
Yeah, consistently, but it's fantastic. Strikers just need to be seeing the ball go in the net.
So, like, hopefully that's like a change. And he's still fairly young. I think he's 25. Maybe.
That, if he's 25, then I'm worried.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you have, like, the Harry Kane, like, the Jamie Vardys of the world who, like, can really come into it, like, as they're older, but...
Yeah. So, we'll see. We'll see what he does. I bet you Morata leaves after a season. I bet you he goes on the quote-unquote cheap back to Juve. I've heard that from a few things I've read.
He was crushing in Italy. I'm not sure why he left. I mean, I think that he really wants to end up in Madrid, but that's just not going to happen.
Nope, not for a while. I thought that Madrid was stupid to sell him over Benzema, and they should have kept Morata, personally. But, I mean, I'm not there. I'm not, you know, they don't pay me money there, so I might be wrong. But, no, I think...
Stopped responding to my emails.
So yeah, like, I sent them a couple of letters.
Got a little too drunk at a function.
Yeah, so I think that from Chelsea's standpoint, they might need a little bit of an overhaul, too. And it's particular, if not, like, it, they have to decide if... A, who are we going with the coach? If we're, I know Sarri from Napoli is their prime pole position person to take over for Conte. If that's what they decide, though, if Conte leaves and he doesn't have a job lined up, which he will claim he does not have, which would be smart, Chelsea still owes him $9 million on his contract. So he's holding on for that, saying, I don't want to leave.
Change,
right. You know, like... But if you don't like him there, get rid of him. I think he's a good coach. I don't think he belongs at Chelsea.
He doesn't want to be there anymore.
No, no. So, and people, and he said numerous times in numerous press conferences that the administration has not listened to him. So, like, yes. Which you don't.
See that Roman didn't get his visa renewed?
Yeah, so he can't even get back in the country, Abramovich. So, I think that if they get Sarri, then the question is, who do they get from Napoli? Because Jorginho is, like, one of the most sought-after center midfielders. Koulibaly is rumored to be on the room.
Jorginho's, like, I think it's almost like.
Predestined that he's leaving. Yeah.
Man City.
I don't know. I know Man U's in for it too. They had a bid rejected. Man U did.
Yeah.
I hope that if, like, I mean, this is a Chelsea fan saying that if Sarri comes to, I don't know how to pronounce it, but if Sarri comes to Chelsea, that you'd hope as a Napoli manager he has some pull in terms of getting Jorginho to come to Chelsea. That would be great because right now Bakayoko was not fantastic on the season. He had a couple games. He was injured for a little while. It took an adjustment period. He's still relatively young, but. Again, there's a difference
him
between
and Conte in the middle would be dope.
There's a difference to me between a like a 5-star team and like a world class team, like one of the best teams in the world. Like there's a team, there's a difference between Chelsea last season and Man City last season. Obviously, from just like a goal scoring perspective, but like that difference in class, like I would still have said that Chelsea was still like a 5-star team, but you look at Manchester City, they're just like head and shoulders above everyone in the Prem, and like
the consistency.
That, was unreal.
Someone speaks for it, yeah.
Right. So, like, that is where the level that these teams need to get at. And I think the signings that Liverpool has already made are strides toward
out
that.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That was wild.
Yeah.
That was a very... Liverpool tour is going nuts. Like, it was rumors at 1, and then 4 o'clock they had pictures of him signing paper.
Yep.
So, kudos to them. I much prefer that than hearing about rumors for, like, weeks on weeks.
Yep.
If they could do that for the rest of the summer, I'd like that very much.
So, if you, so what else do you need to shore up your team to win Champions League next year?
Just to even shore up the team, because, like, goal of winning the Champions League is just so wild. I want at least 2 more midfielders. And not counting Chiesa. Like, we have him coming in, which is awesome. Like, that, I'm so excited to see him. I think 2 more midfielders, particularly of the attacking kind, because I don't really trust Lallana's legs anymore, is reminding me of Gerrard when his groin just kept going. Like,
yep.
I'd still want him in the squad, but I'd want him to be a rotational player, maybe a starter in cups.
Mm-hmm. Put him in the
FA, like a veteran presence, like just someone who's been in the Premier League. Chan's out of there.
Yep.
Milner, like, I don't know. Milner's a robot, so maybe he can just keep running forever. But I'd rather not depend on that. Chamberlain isn't going to be back until December, so I'm not really counting on him to be full fitness until about 3/4 of the season. So definitely shore up the midfield, ball out for a goalie. Like I keep saying, I mean, now is not the time to be scared to spend money. Like you've like we've seen with Van Dijk, like if you just drop the coin on a world class talent, the difference is amazing. And I think that they need to go out, and Oblak has a release clause less than 90 million.
Yep.
That's money that would be money well spent. Allison, I don't think Roma really wants to do any business with us.
Nope.
After that Salah trade.
Yep.
But if like even if they give something in that Oblak region, I think you got to pull the trigger on it, and then some forward depth. I don't want it was awesome watching those front three play week in week out, but at the same time
people get tired.
And I had no faith in anybody on the bench coming on to score. Like Solanke finally got a goal. He finally got a goal last game of the season. Really happy for him.
Deserved.
I think that he does have a good future ahead of him, but I want somebody who we can sit Salah or sit Mane
and be confident
and be very comfortable. Like I mean, when you look at Man City, they have about six players going for three spots. That's where we need to be now.
Yep.
So, do you have any? How about you? I know that you were thinking about writing an article about your wish list. But
yeah, we'll see. That might be coming in terms of like names. I do think Chelsea needs an outside back.
Do you want to stick with that three? The three back?
Personal philosophy is that the three back is awesome. I don't think... I don't know. I think it depends on the coach. I think if we keep an Italian coach, like an Italian, the Serie A coach, then keep the three back. They're decent at running it, and it worked pretty goddamn well for Conte last year. I do think...
Are you worried about that being... Like, it seems like teams like Liverpool and Man City have figured out the back five, though.
Yeah.
Like, are you worried about, like, having to deal with that?
A little bit. I just think that... I think that we just don't have the right players for it right now. I think if we're going to stick with the three back, there needs to be some signings. Mm-hmm. And David Luiz is too much of a head case. And he's been injured, to be fair. Gary Cahill's getting older. He's a solid player. He's a fantastic... I love watching Gary Cahill play.
But he's a player that I've noticed that's aged.
Yes.
Like he's lost about... Let's say a step.
Yeah.
Let's say he's lost a step.
Kurt Zuma is coming back from Stoke City off of a loan, because I think that was a year-long loan, which I think is good. And he had a pretty good season at Stoke, to be fair, at center back. So he's coming back. Azpilicueta played... He was probably the best player for Chelsea.
Probably your most consistent player this year.
But he's, again, not...
He's more in that Danny Alves vein. Like, he's
yes.
not, like... Maybe if he's feeling up for it in a big game, he'll give you something defensively.
Right. So I think that... But he's not... He can't be it. And then on the other side, we've been pushing Victor Moses in there. I'm not really sure what the plan is on the other side. So I think I'd love an Alexandro. Someone who can come inside in the middle if they need to. Someone who can go play the outside if they want to. Literally a Marcelo. Like... Someone who I know can whip in a couple crosses, get a couple shots off if they need to. Not always accurate, but like strong in the air nonetheless. Maybe not necessarily Marcelo. Honestly, Alexandro is like a perfect fit in my head. And I know we went after him, and Juve was smart to just ask for too much. But they were smart because he's good. So like a player like that...
I don't understand their financial situation at all.
Juve?
It doesn't make any sense to me. Like I don't get how they... Like they offer less wages than Premier League teams. I just don't understand.
And I think the biggest thing for Chelsea, to be fair, is getting your attacking options in order.
Morata's got to be out of there.
And I don't know what the... I saw...
such a disappointment this year.
I saw that some rumor that we were thinking about using Morata to swap for Icardi. Which would be sweet. But I don't know, again, how he's going to fare in the Premier League. That's always a toss-up.
I'm not going to pretend like I watched a ton of Chelsea games this year, but I didn't really ever think of a attacking philosophy that Chelsea had this year. I didn't really think that there was much of an idea. Like, it really just seemed like we're going to whip crosses in.
Hopefully Morata heads it in.
Like, there wasn't any real build-up, and it seemed like it was a total waste of the talent, like Willian and Hazard.
So I feel bad for Willian.
They turned into, like, Like, those guys shouldn't be whipping in, like, 10 crosses.
No, and Pedro has been, like, non-existent.
Yeah, and his time's come.
He's or, and I'm wondering if, you know, they do more of what Barcelona did and you play the false nine.
With and, Hazard?
Yeah.
Who would you have on the left, then?
Pedro. He's getting older. I mean, you have to make changes, but I think that maybe if you go with a little smaller players, you consider doing something like that where that would work a little bit more likely, or be a little bit more likely to work. I don't know. I just think that they needed to make some changes. The center mid, I think there's like weaknesses but strengths in each part. Like I can say, you know, obviously Hazard, Willian, those are fantastic players. We lost Matic, which I think was a fair transfer fee because he wasn't producing. But I wish Matic was just playing like Matic used to play. Like that's just been great to keep that. So I don't know.
That was a puzzling move to sell him directly to a rival, but what do I know?
Yeah. But what do I know?
Like I said, they stopped responding to my emails.
Yeah. So that's, I don't know. I guess I'll formulate a little bit more of a wish list. You might get a blog post out of that one soon.
But what sucks about, I mean, we have the World Cup, but what sucks about is that transfers now, like, teams are definitely going to be rushing, but I also think that clubs are going to be betting on their players to ball out for their countries and add
a little value.
In some cases, a lot of value.
Yeah.
Like, we have, like, there's some breakout stars, like, they're gonna be in high demand if they don't have a release clause, then those clubs will be in a really strong position to either hold on to them or demand a ransom.
Well, I know, like, the German team in particular,
going to end up at Bayern. It doesn't matter.
The German team played all the World Cup qualifiers with pretty much their U21 or U23 team, and they broke the record for the most goals in the qualifying rounds.
What a fucking move. What a cocky move.
Yeah. Total German move.
And I'm kind of surprised that they're even going away from that, just on, like, a chemistry basis. Like, you've been you have a group of players who are at this super high confidence and, like, getting used to one another, and now you're going to bring in a bunch of senior players that they haven't interacted with in a professional sense.
Yeah, that's my thing. I mean, way too early prediction. I don't think that Germany repeats. I think that, I don't know, they could easily, and I wouldn't be that surprised, I don't think.
I'm still on that Brazil train.
And I was going to say, that Brazil train, I just downloaded that FIFA update that came literally this morning, today, and I was playing with the Brazil team, and they're just, I mean,
they're stacked.
Yeah.
They're absolutely stacked head to toe. You can say the same about France, though. I mean, they have an embarrassment of riches of just
people. They're midfield.
Like 24, like 22 to 27, and Pogba's a different animal when he's playing for Les Bleus.
Yeah. When he's on form, it's impossible. And Giroud just tied fourth for most French goals.
Griezmann, I think he's lost some value this year.
I think he did a little bit just because of Atletico Madrid's failure in the European competitions and their sort of drop-off in competition in La Liga. They were above Real Madrid for the longer... They were hot. I can't remember.
Ooh, I don't think that Madrid finished very high.
No, I think Real Madrid finished third in the league. Yeah, they did. And Atletico did finish above them. But they only scored 58 goals.
Yuck.
Which is nothing compared to the 99 that Barcelona scored, 94 Real Madrid, Valencia scored more, Villarreal, Real Betis, they all scored more than Atletico Madrid. That's a lack of scoring. I mean, their defense only allowed 22 goals, which is absolutely insane. But it's only scoring 54 is not...
He's 27.
I can see him leaving.
Yeah, Barcelona seems like it's the... That's what everybody's saying, but it's Marca, so like... Those
yeah, I don't know. So the World Cup, Brazil, obviously a team to look out for. Like, the big guys are kind of back in different ways. Spain could surprise a few. I don't think they will, but I think they could surprise a few. They could be an upset. They could be an upset team in like the
30 goals this year in all competition.
Yeah, I think Spain could, you know, surprise someone like France in the knockout stages and then lose the next round. Like, they could be that team.
Let's even just talk about the groups right now. I know that we had, like, a couple of groups of death. Where are they? I definitely remember us talking about Portugal, Spain. No. France, no.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what you'd consider the actual group of death. Maybe,
I don't know, maybe Group G?
I was just looking at that. Maybe Group G, Belgium, England, Panama, Tunisia. Tunisia's going to do nothing, but Panama might snag a tie or a win.
I remember when we podcasted after the,
I thought we said Group F. Germany, South Korea, Mexico, Sweden.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that group, that fucks.
But Mexico has played Germany a number of times in the last few years, I thought.
Nigeria had a really good qualifying.
Mm-hmm.
Egypt's gonna get... I think Egypt's gonna get out of that group.
You think so?
I think... Yeah. Like, especially if Salah's back and if he's healthy. I think they can get past... Well, Russia's going through. Putin's not... But, yeah. if you guys are gambling, folks, put some money on Russia getting out of the group. That's... I feel confident about that.
That's a given. We might not finish the World Cup if...
There's going to be, like, bodies of refs littered in the street.
For called red cards or uncalled red cards. I'm excited for the World Cup. I can't wait. I mean...
I'm just excited. Like, I've realized that, like, with my schedule, like, I'm probably going to be able to watch a ton of these games. Like... So, yeah, I'm happy. I'm very happy. It's going to be a blast. Oh, yeah, dude. Let's go. We got start times of 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 6 a.m., 3 p.m. is the latest one I'm seeing right now.
That's cool. I'll miss all of those.
That's not bad. Ah, and... People love to talk about how, like, March Madness is awesome, and it is, because there's just so many games. But that, like, the group stage of the World Cup, when you just have...
You just flip on the TV.
ESPN3 going on your computer. You got your TV streaming. You're keeping up on Twitter.
Have a couple beers.
Yeah, I'm just going to be day drinking. This is awful.
I think that... who are your sort of surprise teams that you think could make it out of their groups? You said Egypt, for sure. I don't think Morocco or Iran makes it out.
Oh, Group H is what we were talking about, because those are just like a bunch of like B teams.
Colombia, Japan.
Colombia, Japan, Poland, Senegal. Like, Mane, I'm not going to pretend like I know the rest of the
Boateng
team. But,
the other Boateng. Kevin Prince.
Kevin Prince plays for Senegal.
Yeah, I think so. Don't quote me on that. But Poland, obviously, B team.
I don't think that's right.
Colombia's like an A-B team. Like, they're like a B-plus, A-minus team. Japan's like a B-minus, C-plus team.
Yeah, I think that could be a lot of fun. Same with that Belgium-England group.
Mm-hmm.
Did Zlatan unretire?
He did, but he did not. The coach said no.
Yo! I love it.
I think South Korea could surprise a few, actually. They might snag a win.
Morocco keeps sticking out to me for some reason. I don't know why, but they are. But I don't, like. How about instead of like surprise, like, do you think that any of the big, like, any big teams should be worried? Like, England, I'm always worried about.
I think Spain.
You think that Spain just doesn't click?
I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know. Like, it's one of those up in the air teams where.
I don't think Uruguay makes it out. I don't think Cavani's gonna. Suarez isn't the player he used to be.
And
I can definitely see that Egypt-Russia right there. Yeah.
I think Portugal makes it out, no problem, out of the group.
Portugal's made for international competition.
Yep.
They're, I mean, hopefully, like, injuries aside, I mean, they can pack... They don't play pretty soccer.
No.
But they don't care.
I'm actually interested in Group D, Argentina, Croatia, Iceland, Nigeria. Obviously, everyone's like fan favorite who doesn't watch soccer, who wants to pick a team. Iceland's a fantastic team to watch play, just because of like the story behind them.
Argentina's jerseys, though.
I know.
What classics.
Argentina has all of the attacking options, as they always have.
No defense.
And Croatia has not much. They have Luka Modric, right? Or is he Russian?
Oh, nah. They have Modric, but I know for sure that like they have like a decent like attacking option. Like, I think... Yeah, Croatia's a sneaky, a solid team. Also, those jerseys, those red and white checkered ones are awesome.
Yeah, they're pretty sweet. Oh my god, yeah, never mind. They have some good players.
They have Mandzukic.
They have Pjanic, Kovacic, Kramaric, Pasalic, all the itches. Tin Yedvaj, Rosalico.
Yeah, no, they're fine.
They have Pasalic, too. Yeah, they have a decent team. And that wasn't even, that was just in qualifiers. Yeah, I mean, we'll really see what happens with this World Cup. Obviously, the team that we're most disappointed for not being in the World Cup, U.S. Men's National Team, had a pretty...
I'm feeling good.
Pretty good showing for their young players. Good.
I don't want to see a lot of people back in that squad after last night's
performance. Yeah, Tim Weah and Sargent on target for Tom Sargent on Werder Bremen.
Mm-hmm.
And Weah is at PSG. And Pulisic, obviously.
I like him much more in that midfield role instead of out wide.
Weston McKennie played very well, too. He's played well for Schalke this season. Germany getting the brunt of a lot of the American talent, so that's good for them.
I want them to be moving forward with this group. Maybe some other veterans, but...
They have
4 years right now to make an entirely new identity. These kids are having, like, they were having fun.
Let's make lemonade.
Yeah. Like, that's, like, don't go back. There's no need for that.
Clint Dempsey does not need to be on it anymore.
I don't want him there.
I said it. Michael Bradley doesn't need to be there anymore. No. I'm sorry.
You guys had your shot.
Yep.
And this was the year that, this really was their, this should have been their year to be like, yo, like, We've gotten it together. Like, we're really gonna make a push, and they shat the bed.
Yep.
You can blame it on the coaches, which I will do, very easily.
Yep.
You can blame it on the organization, which I will do, but at the end of the day, it's the players who score, and fuck all you old people. Like, they gotta
move on.
We gotta move on. We gotta start. I want it to be.
It's like those people who live too long, you know.
Fucking baby boomers.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, just you have 4 years. Like, I want, like, so Pulisic will be 25 in the next World Cup. I want him to be like one of the older dudes. Like, I want that. Like, I want these next 4 years to be a time for them to really start pushing youth development, taking players from the academies of teams. Either stateside, like homegrown college kids, or people who go international, like, they, as opposed to where, like, there's kind of this priority of, like, oh, no, like, we want American players who are playing in America. Like, no, like, I want the best people possible.
Yep.
I want the people with the most potential for growth.
Having all your English players play in England doesn't always work. Ask them.
Worked. Yeah.
Like, world class, ask them.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of good. I mean, there's... silver linings right now, obviously not happy, but silver linings to it. Yeah, I mean, that's about...
Shout out to
FC Cincy for coming, getting that nod for the MLS team.
Those crowds are going to be bananas.
Yep.
Like, good for them. Like,
yeah.
It's been a slog for them. They finally got...
They've definitely wanted it, like, as a fan base, as a team.
It seems like they've done it on their terms, so... Yeah, I mean...
Good for them. Shout out to them.
Maybe I'll start paying attention to MLS.
Yeah.
No promises.
But, yeah, we're going to get you guys some more content coming soon for, you know, website, some blogs.
Whatever we're going to be called.
Yeah, whatever this shtick is. But I think... I mean, we've said this in the last three episodes, so I guess don't believe us.
Yeah,
but
if we're back next week...
Then believe us.
Then start getting your hopes up. If we're retweeting articles about nonsense... please read.
So, yeah, that's about all we got for you guys today. Thanks for listening, and have a fantastic day.
Bye.